This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca, Tass and Bronnie Pike. We're just getting hold of Martin Foley, the Minister.
Yeah, so I'm on the board of Uniting New South Wales ACT. We've run the supervised injecting facility in King's Cross now for 20-odd years. And I'm really proud that it was the Uniting Church that was in partnership with Bob Carr and the government up there that had the courage. And, you know, our predecessor, Harry Herbert, for weeks put himself up on the TV night after night in his dog collar.
Yep.
You know, to really say to the community, look, if the churches can get on board with this.
Yeah, why?
And, you know, why can't the rest of the community? Marianne Joyncey, who is the CEO up there, doctor.
She's wonderful.
Is an amazing woman. And I've had the privilege of visiting the centre a number of times. And what it's done for the community, love it. It's transformed the local community and in terms of outcomes for the people there.
Bron, when I attended a lecture that she gave for Turning Point just a couple of weeks ago here, Marianne, at the State Library, and she was wonderful.
Oh, she's fantastic. She's given her life to it.
She specifically talked about the impact it had not only on the lives of the users themselves, but the community more broadly.
That's right,
And how it really did save them. Mm. We do have Minister Foley, the Minister for Mental Health, on the phone. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Taz.
Great to have you on the line.
And Macca and Bronnie Pike.
Oh, good morning, Martin.
Hello,
great to be talking to you.
Pleasure's mine.
We do have a very hot studio this morning, and I think some of us might have taken some grumpy pills as we got up this morning.
Not
so
me.
Please bear with us. So, first of all, I think what we'd like to say is congratulations to the government for deciding to put this up. I did hear some disturbing news during the week, though. I did hear that there was going to be a screening criteria for what drugs can be used in the injecting facility itself. Could you explain that to us, Minister?
Sure. So, fundamentally, the policy change has been driven overwhelmingly by the evidence of the human tragedy of an unprecedented number of deaths that was all direction of the growth of, sadly, the opioid market is going to see more and more of these if we kept the same policy framework. So in that context, when we sat down and looked at Fiona Patten's bill and the recommendations from the coroner and the reports from the North Richmond Community Health Centre and all of the evidence of 17 years' worth of a similar or an identical program in King's Cross, the policy change had to be made to be changed. So in terms of how that will play out on the ground, hopefully after the legislation is passed and the physical investment in the North Richmond Community Health Centre is made, how do we run the place is the question. So there will be in the legislation a series of criteria on the operator, the North Richmond Community Health Centre, about protocols that they'll have to enter into, protocols that will be worked out between the Department of Health and Human Services, the operator themselves,
the police,
and the police and other agencies, because there's
ambulance.
King's Cross has shown, all the emergency services. There's a whole range of protocols that have to be entered into. The goal is to establish pretty much the same kind of facility as in King's Cross. Anonymity, support, pathways into other services, and most fundamentally, if people are in a position in their chaotic lifestyles to, in fact, overdose, we save them. So in that context, over 1 million injections, 6,000 overdoses, and not a single death after nearly 17 years in Sydney.
It's very compelling. It's absolutely very compelling, and you'll get no disagreement.
And the wave that we're currently on, and sadly, if we see the fentanyl wave that's hit North America, perhaps come to Australia, let's hope it doesn't, but international evidence suggests that it will. We know that we're really, this wave is only going to get bigger, and the current policy framework wasn't working. Mm. So in that context, between the legislation passing and the facility opening, we have to arrange these protocols.
So if I can just interject for a second, for our listeners who don't know what fentanyl is, it's actually a super, super, super strong synthetic drug that in the smallest dose can actually kill people. And this there's evidence that this is being recreationally used overseas, and it is on its way over here as we speak.
Yes. And it's a derivative of opioid, and it's got similar but much more magnified qualities. And in that kind of context, we're not ready for that. So the safe, the medically supervised injection facility is a central announcement of a much wider package. So in terms of who can do what in the facility, should the legislation pass, will be determined by those protocols. We've been very clear with police and the emergency services that the amount and the type of drugs that can be used in the facility will be the subject of those protocols, with one exception. And that exception is ICE. For a variety of reasons, policing, impact on the facility, the nature of that drug in terms of its potential impact on some people, makes it, in our view, based on the advice we've got, an inappropriate drug to be injected in that kind of facility. In terms of all the other drugs, in terms of all the other, mainly heroin, in terms of how the North Richmond hotspot has worked, sadly, for many, many years. We would expect that would be the main drug, but those details of precisely what type of drugs and in what type of quantity will be a question of those protocols worked out by the health agencies, emergency services and Victoria Police.
Can I take you back a little bit, Minister? You did say that if the bill gets through, so are you saying that this is not yet guaranteed? This is not yet passed Parliament?
No, it hasn't yet passed Parliament. We introduced it and second read it in the Legislative Assembly. We're confident we'll get through the Legislative Assembly. We're hopeful it'll get through the Legislative Council this year, but as we know, the shifting numbers in the Legislative Council make nothing certain.
So can I just jump in there, Martin? And I'm on the board of Uniting New South Wales ACT that runs the facility up there. And Harry Herbert, who was instrumental in getting up, was a former colleague, Uniting Church colleague of mine. And part of the success in terms of getting the community across the line, if you read the history of the establishment of the facility up there, was, you know, the very strong kind of public advocacy and the partnership that Bob Carr and the government at the time was able to create, you know, with, and Harry, I know, night after night, I was saying, you know, would turn up on the television with his dog collar on, and he was actually put out there as the strongest kind of public advocate, and it was a really powerful kind of message that, you know, if these conservative church people thought this radical idea was a good one. So, you know, I know that you've been working incredibly hard, you know, building that kind of consensus with the local community. And but, you know, I'm sure you agree there's more opportunity getting other advocates out from across the spectrum in the community.
Oh, look, and that's certainly the case, Bronwyn. We know that whether it's Richard Wynne, the local member for Richmond, the traders, the local residents groups, the public tenants groups, as well as the strong advocacy from the emergency services, particularly the AMBOs, 3,000 call-outs within a 400-metre radius of the North Richmond Community Health Centre over the last couple of years. It's disproportionate, and fundamentally, the human toll has just been increasing year on year since 2009, and it's getting to the point, you know, any death is a tragedy, but this year alone, confirmed number of deaths from overdose within the immediate vicinity of the facility, 34, and frankly, once a few more have been properly assessed, probably significantly more than 34. And the evidence shows that when your current policy is seeing that kind of human devastation, you have to try something different. And that's precisely what they did.
You're anticipating any legal, in 99, we were a fair way down the track and there were some very strong legal challenges. So do you anticipate anything like that?
No, we think we've learned from that history and from New South Wales again, and the legislation that we've brought forward specifically seeks to provide that exemptions from the Drugs Poisons Act, gives immunity to the practitioners on the facility, and more importantly, has been worked out with Victoria Police in terms of their wide-ranging discretions that they bring anyway. And we're confident that having involved Victoria Police's the parliamentary inquiry into Fiona Patten's bill did, where Victoria Police went with them to look at other facilities around the world, that they understand that there is a world of difference between treating people whose chaotic lives have led to really significant health issues versus those people who would seek to profit and exploit people through their health conditions. So I think Victoria Police will necessarily have to keep up their work on trying to disrupt the entry of these drugs into the country and dealing with the those who would seek to peddle this material. But they get the notion that there are some problems that you cannot arrest your way out of, and this is a health issue first and foremost, and that is what has motivated the policy change.
Now, interestingly, Martin, you probably heard it. It was some months ago, Ken Way, the chair of Ambulance Victoria, on this program.
I did.
Said that the evidence against this was not strong, and he couldn't really see it. Getting the police on board and people like Ken, people like Jeff Kennett and others on board. If I can ask you, the official opposition opposed to the underground opposition, which there'll be a lot of those, what have they said about this? I know I'm not going to dignify some of the comments, but what's the opposition's position on this so far? What have they said publicly?
They said publicly that they will oppose the bill on the basis that it sends the wrong message around what is an illegal illicit set of drugs that bring anywhere else beyond the facility criminal penalties. And that's fine, except that a policy isn't working and is resulting in a wave and a growing wave of people dying.
Oh, here we go people, again. I'm sorry to sound cynical.
All over our community who are attracted to North Richmond for various historical reasons that don't apply in any other community. It's something that the current policy settings are not working, and you have to be prepared to try something different. And the work that the parliamentary inquiry in response to Fiona Patten's bill established, can I say, a bipartisan report that had a series of unanimous findings, except for one member who put in her own minority report. That cross-party report said it's chaos in North Richmond. The amenity of the current policy settings is putting community amenity and wider community safety at risk. That the evidence from New South Wales and international was these facilities worked, and that we should seek to pursue that as an outcome. And in that regard, that work was pivotal. The work of successive coroners' reports over recent times and a recognition that the existing framework was just going to see more people die lonely, tragic deaths.
On a positive note, Martin, it's Tass here again. Let's assume that the bill does get through. What sort of time frame can we look at before we've actually got a facility up and operating with all the right checks and balances, the support, the procedures, the researchers, et cetera, in place so that consumers can start to go in there and use safely under supervision?
It's our goal that the facility will be operating by July 2018. Should the bill pass, we've been working in the last little while with the North Richmond Community Health Centre and a range of partners that they will bring to the facility, St Vincent's, Turning Point, a range of other specialists in this area who can make sure that the strict protocols that will be in place are there from day one. Then there'll be the oversight committee that the Premier's announced. The legislation will provide a requirement that within certain timeframes there's a report to government and the parliament. And the former Premier, Jeff Kennett, who has had his own road to Damascus conversion on this issue, will chair that committee. And we'd like to think that's an expression on behalf of the government that can we lift this issue above the normal partisan political ruckus and just fundamentally realise that these are people whose lives are in chaos generally, not all the time, but generally, and that this is an issue where we are dealing with people through a health frame, and that an oversight committee will make sure that it reports, and at the end of, on a regular basis, at the end of 2 years, the government, through the Department of Health and Human Services, will look at the evidence and, I'm confident, continue the trial for a further 3 years. And if we get to the end of that period of time, I'm confident, as we've seen in King's Cross and from all the international evidence, that this will be seen as a legitimate part of Victoria's health response to what is a mounting crisis.
That's great news, Martin. We have actually, unfortunately, run out of time, but I just need to let you know we've had a number of listeners who've sent messages of support in, and I've got to read this one out to you from Matt from Thornbury, who says...
He's in the wrong seat, though.
Every time I hear Martin Foley speak, he's knowledgeable and realistic and totally across his many portfolios. Is he interested into going to federal level? So there you go.
You've got your own fan base. And Martin, it was part of a bigger package too, and we haven't talked about that today. So, for another time, but that was fantastic.
Yeah, great work. Thank you very much.
You can actually tell Matt from Thornbury that I'm actually in Thornbury at the moment campaigning for Claire Burns in the North Carolina.
There you go.
So we'll have a chat to you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. Thanks for your work. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.